Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And welcome, everyone, to our wrap-up of the first week of the NCAA tournament. A look ahead to the Sweet 16. I'm Andy Katz. All right, so we had an unbelievable first week of the NCAA tournament. Before we get to some of my top five moments and a little look ahead of some bold predictions, I would just say overall, it never disappoints. We had upsets. We had unbelievable performances, which we'll get to momentarily. We had the reigning National Player of the Year, Zach Edey, go for 30 and 21. He went for 23 and 14. A dominating performance by Zach Edey and Purdue in their two wins over Grambling State and Utah State. We had the reigning champions in UConn with a dominating performance over Northwestern on Sunday in Brooklyn. They look every bit as good as a year ago to repeat as champions for the first time since 06-07 when Florida did it. Prior to that, it was Duke in 91 and 92. We also had a great week for the Big East, as the Big East got three teams in. I don't want to talk about the three teams that didn't get in because only one really deserved, and that was Seton Hall. The other two did not. I'm sorry. But the three teams that did get in all had high seeds and all won their games. UConn, Marquette, and Creighton. So great week for the Big East. As for the ACC, Virginia started off the week with a horrible performance, but then the favorites, Duke, Carolina, won. Clemson, great week for the Tigers as they beat my favorite in that game. I was wrong in that, New Mexico, and then took out Baylor. So a great week for the Tigers. I've been high on the Tigers throughout the course of the season. If you remember, many times I had them in my Power 36, and they weren't in the top 25. And then NC State, what a remarkable run for Kevin Keats and Burns and Horn and everyone else on that roster, winning five games in 5 days to win the ACC tournament. Then they end up beating Texas Tech and knocking off Cinderella Oakland. We are getting to the Sweet 16 without Blue Bloods Kansas. No Kevin McCullough Jr. They did win their first game, lost to Gonzaga. No Kentucky, which we'll talk about momentarily. So, but we do have some of the favorites because we've got four number ones still alive in the Sweet 16. So, my top five moments. Let's start at number one. Drum roll. Oakland's Jack Golkey. 10 threes to beat Kentucky. What a remarkable performance by Golkey. First of all, Greg Campy, 40 years with the Oakland Grizzlies. 40 years! And he breaks through with a epic upset, taking down Kentucky. Kentucky team that I was not alone in thinking that they would be a potential Final Four team, certainly in that South bracket. So that was number one for me because it ended up being a March Madness memory for the ages. Unreal with the 10 for 20. I mean, took 23s for 32 points. Really remarkable. So that's number one for me, and I think it will be number one for quite some time. And he didn't need a lot of vision and space to get that shot off. I mean, really remarkable. So that's number one. Number two was another shocker, and that came out in Spokane. Yale beating Auburn. Now, I know this is a little controversial because Auburn lost a key player early in the game and was ejected, so that was obviously upsetting for Auburn and Auburn faithful. But the fact that the Yale Bulldogs who, by the way, needed a buzzer beater to beat Brown in the Ivy League championship game on Sunday. They do that. They take down Auburn. That one, I don't think many people saw coming. Auburn had won the SEC tournament title on Sunday with a win over Florida. It's not easy for a lot of these teams, and we've seen this before, where they win that championship on Sunday and then end up, you know, losing that first round. I mean, this was a 78-76 win. It's the kind of game that we see in the first round of the NCAA tournament. A team that is not expected to do this, does not have the high-profile athletes, but just plays the game. And when the game gets late, a lot of these higher seeds get tight. We see this every single year. And this was also in Spokane, where there was no, you know, home team to basically be the dominant team here between Yale and Auburn way out in Spokane. All right, so that's number two. Number three on my list. Now, I'm a little biased because I was there. This was a great game between Colorado and Florida. I mean, you had over 100 points. And KJ Simpson, who I think has had a phenomenal season for the Buffaloes. I think he's a great talent. If he comes back next year, he's got All-American potential. He could be a draft pick. He hits this essential buzzer beater in the corner, bounced around. Kevin Harlan, our play-by-play announcer, who is an iconic voice for the NCAA tournament, everything he does. Love Kevin, great person. Called this one as it bounced all up and around and drops. 102-100 was the final as Colorado knocks off Florida. Colorado had beaten in the first four. They had knocked off Boise State to get to this matchup against Florida in a 7-10 game. And Colorado, by the way, Tad Boyle told me he played a bunch of game sevens, you know, to get to this point. After they lost to UCLA, they had beat USC, and they had basically played game sevens to even get in the NCAA tournament. They lose to Oregon in the Pac-12 title game. So that, for me, was number three. We had drama, and I had it firsthand in Indy. Number four on my list, a little sentimental here, but also another big upset. Keith Dambrot gets his win for Duquesne. His wife is sick, and he had decided to retire after the NCAA tournament. And Duquesne, out of the A-10, beats BYU as an 11-6. Dambrot, coaching lifer, coached LeBron James at St. Mary St. Vincent in Akron. Then he went on to coach Akron and then Duquesne. So when he knew his career was going to end, he wins the A-10 tournament, which was an upset. And then they beat BYU to get to that round of 32. That was a great moment for Keith Dambrot, for coaches everywhere. And just, you know, also it was an upset from a team that normally doesn't provide many or even get into the NCAA tournament. So to me, that was a great moment. And then I'm going to go selfishly again because I love the emotion of March. And to me, it happened Sunday when I interviewed Shaka Smart in Indianapolis. His reaction to when Marquette beat Colorado, Tyler Kolek, late basket to beat the Buffaloes. And I wasn't ready. I mean, I wasn't expecting, I should say. I was ready, but I wasn't expecting Shaka to be emotional, but he was, for the Golden Eagles to get into the NCAA tournament Sweet 16. He pours everything into every possession, every practice, loves his guys. He's a player's coach, really is a better fit all around for him in a basketball school like Marquette in Milwaukee. He's from Madison, then at Texas. Same thing he had at VCU. He will tell you he was an overachiever in the sport at the D3 level. And, you know, he got emotional. Wants to keep coaching these guys. Last year, they were very disappointed that they lost in the round of 32 to Michigan State. They expected a lot more with that group. Now they've got a chance to advance to the Sweet 16, where I think they've got a great shot. They play NC State. They got the goods to beat Houston or Duke, so they could get to the Final Four. So I just love that reaction from Shaka Smart. So those are my top five moments. Other people have others, but I thought that was a good five for me from week one of the NCAA tournament.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
So now, let's go to our predictions for the Sweet 16. Number one, it's hard to go against UConn. UConn's going to have a rematch against San Diego State in the national championship game from a year ago. They're going to play in the Sweet 16 in Boston. I will be there on sideline. Look, San Diego State isn't as good as they were a year ago. Jaden Ledee is back. They did lose Keshawn Johnson, who's playing for Arizona. But they still can defend. But it almost feels like UConn's better. They didn't lose eight games in Big East play like they did a year ago. Klingon's playing at an all-time level. Stephon Castle, Cam Spencer, Tristan Newton. What an amazing backcourt. Tristan Newton's a first-team All-American. So that's number one for me, is that I think UConn will get out of this bracket, but it's not going to be easy. San Diego State's going to push them. And the winner of Illinois-Iowa State. How about this? We got the I'm going to talk to this about in a minute. But anyway, bottom line is it's not going to be easy to get out of the East in Boston Thursday, Saturday, but I think they will. Chance to repeat as champions. First time since Florida did it in 06-07. Number two, I witnessed this firsthand in Indianapolis. I think we're going to see Purdue get to the Final Four. They dominated the first week. Dominated. Okay? So with that being said, you know, I clearly expect Purdue to get by Gonzaga, a game I saw in Hawaii when they beat Gonzaga in the first round of the Maui Invitational. They absolutely dominated Grambling State and Utah State. Zach Edey, I told you, two double-doubles, untouchable. So I think Purdue beats Gonzaga. Edey will beat Graham Ike, they'll get him in foul trouble. They got better guards. Zags, by the way, got to give a shout-out. Ninth straight Sweet 16. Remarkable achievement for Mark Few and the Zags to pull that off. Unbelievable that they've been able to do that. Creighton, Tennessee, it's going to be a really good game. We'll talk about that momentarily. But I still think Purdue beats both of them and gets to the Final Four. Number three prediction comes from L.A. I think we're going to get the Caleb Love, R.J. Davis matchup in the Elite Eight. Caleb Love played at Carolina 2 years ago with R.J. Davis, national championship game, lost to Kansas. They don't make the tournament last year, goes to Arizona. At one point, he was going to go to Michigan. Now, if Arizona beats Clemson and Carolina beats Alabama, we're going to see Caleb Love versus former team in the Elite Eight. And I think in Los Angeles, Arizona gets to the Final Four by beating North Carolina. Number four, Marquette. I mentioned this in our earlier discussion. I think Marquette gets to the Final Four. I'm adjusting my pick because Kentucky's out. And I like the way Marquette's playing right now. I think they get to the Final Four for the first time since Dwayne Wade led the Golden Eagles in 2003, led by Tyler Kolek. This will be Shaka Smart's second trip to the Final Four with a second team. Took VCU there. Now they're going to have to get by Cinderella NC State and the winner of Houston Duke. I think Marquette's better than Duke. Houston almost lost to Texas A&M, but I like Marquette to get there. Prediction number five. The best games of the Sweet 16 are going to be Illinois-Iowa State. Illinois, the number one offensive efficient team in the country, against Iowa State, the number one defense efficient team in the country. And then Creighton, Tennessee. Dalton Connect, first team All-American, player of the year candidate, going against Creighton, Ryan Kalkbrenner, Trey Alexander, Baylor Shireman, Stephen Ashworth. They got a lot of scores at Creighton, but Tennessee is going to ugly this up. They're going to make this, you know, I mean, the Texas game was ugly. Tennessee can play ugly. They're going to make Creighton earn every single basket. So it may not be a work of art, but I think it's going to be the most competitive game. Creighton, Tennessee, and Illinois, Iowa State. All right. So Meyer Hawkins says NC State's making the Final Four, thinks there's going to be a Cinderella run out of there. I mean, it could happen. Of course it could happen. They're in the Sweet 16. Tennessee making the Final Four. Jay Garcia says the Houston's making the Final Four. And maybe this is the game that Houston needed to play. You know, you always have that close game. A lot of times it happens in the round of 32. Iron Mike says, must be crazy. UNC will lose. I said they're going to lose to Arizona. Arizona not better than Carolina. Well, I didn't say they were better. I think they're going to win the game in Los Angeles. We'll see. All right. Well, how about some revised predictions before we get out of here? UConn over San Diego State, Illinois over Iowa State. I actually had this bracket, if I'm not mistaken. I might have had Auburn. I think I might have had Auburn there. I think I had three of the four. So I'm going to go with UConn, Illinois, UConn advancing in Boston. Carolina over Alabama, Arizona over Clemson, Arizona over Carolina. Houston over Duke, Marquette over NC State, Marquette over Houston, Purdue over Gonzaga, and I'm going to stick with my pick. I had three of the four here. I had Oregon winning. They almost did. And I had Tennessee over Oregon, so I'll have Tennessee over Creighton. So my East and Midwest, I had three of the four matchups, or three of the four teams in there. So did pretty well in my East and Midwest. I did have Carolina, Arizona as my Elite Eight, so that's still there. I did have, you know, UConn, Illinois still there. Did have Kentucky, Houston. So, you know, did not have as many upsets that happened, but definitely some of my best teams are still getting in there. All right, so I'm going to stick with my picks, which is Purdue wins the Midwest, Arizona wins the West, UConn wins the East, and now I'm switching to Marquette since Kentucky is gone. You know, I'll answer this. B says, who has the best opportunity to knock off UConn? Well, I do think San Diego State will defend them well, but I do think it's Illinois of the four because Illinois can score with UConn. UConn can really score offensively, but I think Illinois will be able to put up 90, 95, 100. That game is going to be up and down. They got the bigs to match Klingon. Terrence Shannon will be hard to stop. I think an Illinois-UConn East matchup in the Elite Eight would be great. I'm not giving you final scores. I'm not doing any spread stuff. I don't think Love will get caught up in the emotion once the ball is tipped if he gets to the game against Carolina. I don't see that. So I don't see that'll happen. So I do think we're going to get a lot of drama. I think the Boston region will be off the charts because UConn fans are great. I think Purdue fans will be there in droves in Detroit. Houston fans will be there in Dallas for sure. Duke travels. And out west, Arizona is going to dominate in LA in terms of fans. We shall see. All right. As always, stay right here for all our coverage. Go to NCAA.com and our March Madness MBB on X, formerly known as Twitter. You can follow me on at The Andy Katz on X, formerly known as Twitter, and at The Real Andy Katz on Instagram. As always, thanks for engaging. Thanks for participating. Thanks for spending your Monday morning here with me. And we will do this again as we get ready for the Sweet 16. I will be on your sideline on TBS Thursday night from Boston. Thanks for watching, everyone.